You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, hey, we're finally back in Texas after a long time away, and our daughter has moved here. We've got to have our first dinner with them out at a restaurant tonight.
Well, I see the glow in your face, and I know you're walking on cloud nine because you have singularly managed to get half the family out here to Texas.
I love it. I'm enjoying it.
I know that's a huge goal for you, and I love having all the kids. I hope we can get, you know, our other son, our police officer son, to come on out here and change jobs from California to Texas and enjoy the good life out here. So it was really fun having him out for dinner out at the Dodging Duck out by Cibolo Creek.
And
we had a pretty good meal and had some beers, and it was just so much fun to see Karen and Chris out here again and just really them starting to already, I know they're moving in, I know they're really busy, but they're starting to enjoy Texas already.
Yep.
Well, listen, I've got something I want to talk with you about, and I know it's been in the news and everything, but it just really bothers me, and that is the horrific gun violence that took place recently in the city of Chicago over the weekend. 59 people shot, 8 people killed. And when is this going to stop?
Well, they say that the shootings are down a bit this year in Chicago. I wonder if that just changed.
I don't know who's saying that the violence, the gun violence is down. For God's sakes, they've got 347 homicides already this year. They've had 1,809 people shot, with 292 people, almost 300 of those people, shot and killed with firearms. You know what they were saying, at least on the news and from the police department, is that the vast majority of both the victims and violators were under the age of 17 years old. And that includes lots of kids, young kids that get caught in the crossfire.
Well, sure. And if you take that 96 people a day in the whole United States on an average are shot, look at how many are happening just in Chicago.
It is so disproportionate. It is absolutely ridiculous. It's insane, and they don't seem to be able to control it.
No, and I saw the police chief on television, and he came out and he made some statements about this, and he said that they were not going to let this stand, that they were going to keep working at this. But really, there's so many issues going on here. One of the biggest ones in my mind is the judicial system not keeping these guys in jail once they do arrest them. And the other one is that there just has been a total lack of support of the police by the administration in that town, by the police commission, by the mayor. And the police are half the time afraid to really make any move because they get accused of being the perpetrators rather than all of these little criminals running around the streets there.
You know, people have got to do several things to control this problem. You know, sweetheart, I've written about this extensively in my drronmartinelli.com blog, and I also had a couple of chapters in it on, you know, my truth behind the Black Lives Matter movement and the war on police. You're absolutely correct. They have got to do a couple of things. Number one, own the problem of black-on-black crime and violence and gun violence in that Chicago community, especially in Southside Chicago. The current stats are that almost 81% of all of these shootings and murders are blacks shooting blacks, and a little over 12% are Hispanics shooting blacks and Hispanics shooting Hispanics. This has got to stop. This is not a cultural thing. It is a behavioral thing. Okay, guns are an instrument of what is happening, but this is absolutely behavioral. And a lot of these things can absolutely be fixed.
Well, and as you and I have discussed, it's a lot about the family as well. You have single-parent families, you have working moms who are leaving their kids alone, and who becomes their family but the gang?
You're absolutely right. You know, they have to learn how to prioritize parenting. If you are a young male growing up in that community or in any community in the United States, you've got to have that father figure that you respect, that can mentor you, that can direct you, that can give tough love when tough love needs to be given, but someone to look up to and help guide you along these difficult and challenging roads when you are just a young kid growing up.
And when you don't have that, you have to have a good male role model mentor. And they don't seem to have that. We have dropped so much religion in this country, we forgot that God even exists in this country.
We have got to get God back into the family and get God back into these people's lives. Because, you know, faith, I don't care what your faith is, but faith, having a religion, practicing your faith, gives you hope, gives you some solace, assuages you in times of difficulty.
Well, and it teaches you right from wrong. That's what religion does. The other thing is, this is self-perpetuating, because now you have these young men who are going out making new lives, right? They're impregnating
Correct.
Young girls.
Correct.
And this will perpetuate, because they're not good role models. They're the gangbanger dad.
And you're literally having babies making babies.
Right. But you don't have anybody that has that foundation to give their child as that next child grows up. And that's probably where we're at right now, is that this last generation, who were kind of gangbangers there, are not able to give the foundation, or they're not around, or perhaps they're in jail, or they were killed or injured themselves, or they left, or whatever the situation is. But this problem is not going to be fixed unless you start in the family and then in the community helping.
100%. It's got to be an all-in thing to both, you know, raise up these kids where everybody is helping. Neighbors are helping, clergy is helping, teachers are helping, celebrities, athletes, all these people that seem to be complaining about the police ought to be getting involved in volunteerism and coming into these communities and helping the police and families take back control of the streets. That needs to be done. You know the other thing that needs to be done? And that is, they need to be prioritizing education. And you know what? Not everybody is set for college. Not everybody can handle college, and college is not for everybody. But going to trade schools, learning a trade, because I'm going to tell you something I learned in my entire career being a police officer. I didn't find educated and skilled kids and competent kids getting involved with gangs, getting involved in crime, carrying guns. I didn't see any of those kids getting involved in those problematic areas. That is costing the lives of our children, because they have job skills, they're independent, and they can move forward with their lives.
And you know, Ron, I believe that human nature says that that's what people want. People want a reason to get up in the morning, and they want something to feel proud about, and they want something to do. And when they don't have it and they're lost is when they get involved in these situations. And not only that, but there's good kids that get involved also because the gangs will force them, as you know. All the things that we've just talked about are the solutions. And one more solution, which is not the ultimate solution, it's a temporary solution, is I still say bring in the National Guard there and put some curfews out there and get some of these people off the street. Do whatever we need to do that the mayor, the police commission, the police department there will not allow the officers to do, is go in there and absolutely take control of that situation. They want to be too nice. They want to be buddy buddies. and it's not a way to handle this situation, because the people that live there, there's a lot of good people that live there. We go there frequently.
And they're literally hostages
in their homes.
And they're frightened. And Mayor Emanuel has got to stop this. You know, he's running for office this year, and he's going to have a really tough race. I think the prior police superintendent is actually running against him. But one of the problems, and you touched on it, was stopping the stop and frisk, which is so important, because they look at this as racial profiling, and it is not racial profiling. It is behavioral. And I just wanted to bring up a few things just on the law enforcement side to sort of piggyback on what you were talking about with regards to supporting the police. You know, there's all this rhetoric out there about corrupt cops or cops that use force excessively. Let me tell you what, you could get rid of every single one of those corrupt cops. You could get rid of every single one of those police officers that you believe is officious or uses force excessively, and you would still have the astronomical crime and gun violence rates that you have in Chicago, unless that city buckles down and starts paying attention to some of the things that you and I have been speaking about tonight. Let me put it in context with you for a second. Okay, so far there's been almost 300 homicides. I mentioned it already. Almost 300 homicides in the city of Chicago. Okay? Everybody talks about police. They're so violent. Oh, they're shooting everybody. You know what? Compare that to so far this year against 300, there's only been 12 officer-involved shootings and 4 people killed by police officers as a result of resisting, and I think every single one of them was armed at the time. So you want to talk about, you know, the so-called violent police? That is a false narrative. It's the people that need to de-escalate, not the police officers in the city of Chicago.
Well, actually, I think that the police officers in the city of Chicago need to escalate, not de-escalate.
Escalate with regards to their police, you know, their policing strategies and stopping and frisking people.
Right. They need to be stopping and frisking. They need to be doing FI cards, field interview cards. They need to be doing the things that they have been stopped from doing that have historically helped solve crimes.
Well, just like when Bratton was in New York City and they did, stop and frisk there. And I know in Southern California, we referred to it when we were on the job as shake, rattle, and roll.
Shake, rattle, and roll.
Okay. And it was so effective. It's just like when Chief Bratton, who also went from the commissioner of New York City, came out to LAPD and was the chief of police there for, I think, about 8 years, completely reduced the crime rates both in New York, but when he came out to Los Angeles, he had some great community policing and policing strategies where people would get stopped and frisked in accordance with probable cause or reasonable suspicion. And so people just think that the cops are just out there willy-nilly stopping everybody for nothing and patting them down, and that's not the case at all.
Well, it's not the case, and they don't do it randomly, and they do it in areas of high crime. So let's just say that you have an area that has a high rate of robberies or a high rate of burglaries or a high rate of shootings. You go out and you shake, rattle, and roll, or you take the FI cards and you talk to people on the street, which is where the officers get their information
and find
from
out where the bad guys are and who's packing, and then you surveil them, you take a look, you see them looking hinky, you know, suspicious, and based on their behavioral characteristics and profile, that's when you decide whether you have reasonable suspicion or probable cause to search them, and that's what you do.
Even if you don't search them and you just do a field interview and you write down their information.
And where they are and what they're doing there.
Exactly. Where they are, what they're doing, who they're with, that type of thing. I cannot tell you how many times you can go back to that information 6 months, 9 months, a year later, 2 years later, and look at those and help solve a crime.
And you know,
and we need to be able, as police officers, to do that again. And people that have taken that away from officers, Ron, know nothing about the job.
No, you know, we call it predictive policing. All right, and that's when we saturate an area and we're looking for the bad guys. We know who the bad guys are. We watch the bad guys. We watch them doing things that are, you know, criminal or suspicious in nature. And based upon that, That's when we make our contact with our guys, and that's when we recover guns. And unless the city of Chicago and these other cities around the United States, unless these people wise up, these politicians wise up, these anti-police groups wise up and let the police do their job professionally, that's the only thing that's going to reduce that crime rate and save people's lives.
And this is the perfect example of a city where you see the consequences of not letting the police do their job.
I agree entirely, and unfortunately, it's the public that suffers. And again, what city in the United States in one weekend had 59 shooting injuries and 8 deaths?
No, okay? Terrible.
Nowhere else.
You know, there was a situation right here in Florida a few days ago where there was some kids at a school event at a park. They were going to get new school supplies. Everybody's there, their families, they're all excited. And two guys get in an argument, and one leaves and comes back with a gun and starts shooting into the crowd. He fired a number of rounds into the crowd. There was a legal CCW holder
carrying concealed weapon
in that crowd who shot the shooter. Did not kill him, but shot the shooter, stopped the shooting. Nobody died in that incident. Nobody was even hurt in that incident except for the shooter. So thank God that that man was there and he was legally armed and knew how to use a firearm and knew when to use a firearm. So Chicago's rule about not having anybody have firearms isn't working so well for them, is it?
No, and you know, we don't have that level, anywhere near that level of gun violence out here in Texas, because, you know, a lot of people out here are responsible Second Amendment citizens. They're carrying concealed. You know, I carry most of the time now. And I'll tell you what, it's like a good insurance policy. Better to have it and not use it or need it, right?
Sure.
Than need it and not have it.
Well, and that's why they say, don't mess with Texas.
Hey, are you ready for a little coffee?
I am.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American freestyle bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Hey, you know what I like about having coffee in the screen room?
What's that?
Well, we're right next to nature here, and you can hear the crickets, and you can hear everything. And, you know, we got an outside light here, and you can see the bats flying in and out, and it's just so beautiful, and looking up, and got a gorgeous starry sky tonight.
It is a gorgeous sky tonight. And how about that little bullfrog or toad on the...
Waiting for us right at the front door. Wasn't he so cute just standing there? Are you home?
He was cute until he wanted to come in.
And I just thought that was great. And I think we're supposed to be getting some thunder and lightning storms coming up pretty soon. Or did it move out towards the weekend?
Out towards the weekend, but I hope we get some soon because I love watching them.
Well, we need some rain because the river's kind of going down, and we saw that the other day when we were out there with the kids sitting. You know, we like to take our chairs and sit out by the river and actually sit in the river.
Yeah.
And I just noticed it was a little bit down.
Yeah, our behinds weren't as wet as they usually are. So, but you know, I want to talk about something that is increasingly on my mind. And that is the this whole situation about voting. I am a huge proponent that everybody should have to show identification to vote. But San Francisco is going in the opposite directions. And a lot of non-U.S. citizens are increasingly on their voter rolls.
You know, I saw that. It's happening, by the way, across the United States, and it's a horrible thing to have happen. You know, I listened to what the justification was in San Francisco, and it made absolutely no sense to me. Okay, here's what they're saying. It's not an all election, so they're not allowing people to vote in federal elections. I don't even think they're allowing people to vote in state elections. It's just municipal elections like school districts. However, and there's, let me just say this while I'm mentioning that. So the justification for letting them vote in school elections is because there are a lot of illegal aliens that are in schools getting educated. So here's the problem I have with that. If illegal aliens get together and they vote in mass, they can totally change the education paradigm of a school district.
Well, of course, and this is exactly why the Democrats want to register illegals, because they generally vote Democrat. But I will beg to differ with you that this is not just in the local elections. In California and on the San Francisco rolls and in states as Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Virginia, there are lots of undocumented immigrants on the national voting rolls.
Well, no, I'm not saying that, okay, though, honey. What I'm saying is, sure, they are. I think the last thing I saw on Fair U.S. Website was there something like 2.4 million fraudulent voters, most of which were illegal aliens, that are voting in state and national elections. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a municipality allowing illegal aliens to legally vote in elections.
Well,
and that's absolutely damaging to a school district.
It's ridiculous that should even be the case. I mean, we can't do that in any other country. Why should they do it in our country? And what would then be the benefit of being a citizen here at all when you have all of the rights and all of the help and all of the financial resources? What is even the point of becoming a citizen and having the pride in this country? It's like going into the candy store and taking all the candy but not paying your bill. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, 2.4 million illegal voters can change the course of any federal or state election.
And they have, and they do. And the denial about this is ludicrous, because it happens all the time. And people, you know, there's dead people on the voting rolls. There's illegal people on the voting rolls. There's people, as the story I just read today, where the lady who is an undocumented immigrant said, "I never signed up to vote. How did my name get on? For 6 years, I've gotten voting pamphlets at home to vote, and I could have voted absentee, but I didn't. And the only time that I ever sent it back was I sent it back when I said, hey, don't send me this because I am not a legal citizen here. I'm not a U.S. citizen. And they continue to send it. So what they find out is that you can be on those voting rolls unless you self-report yourself and take yourself off. And nobody seems to care. But I would bet you, Ron, that most of this country cares a lot. And it's the few people that are blocking us, not being the judges and the few people in our legislatures that want to prevent you from having to show your ID, where I absolutely believe that most of America wants us to show our ID and only vote if you are a legal U.S. citizen.
You know, I don't understand what the whole deal is about showing ID. I don't get it. You go to the store, you go to JCPenney's, and, you know, you go buy some clothes and you produce a credit card to pay for that. They're not going to accept that credit card unless they look at your driver's license to verify you are who you are. Okay.
Well, you're not going to go to a doctor.
And you can't cash a check.
And you can't have a drink.
And you can't
buy alcohol.
Like, you can't buy a gun. You can't do anything without showing ID. Hell, when you get pulled over by a cop, you've got to show ID.
Right, can't drive a car.
Right? I mean, come on. I mean, what is this? And you're absolutely right. This whole thing scares me. And the thing that really bothers me is, I think in the United States, when the Federal Election Commission went to each of these states to get them to pony up their voter roll lists. I think 12 states would not cooperate with
right.
them.
You're right.
Okay, so you can't tell me there's not fraud going on in those states. Okay, you have the Federal Election Commission coming over to look at your voter rolls, and you don't give up the voter rolls?
Well, this is this whole thing that's happening in our country that I think is making all of red-blooded Americans angry, is that we all just want to play fair. We want to have our vote count and have it count for what it should count for. And we don't want people's vote to count that shouldn't count. We want to hear fair news. We want to hear the truth about things. And this is just kind of a crazy time where it's topsy-turvy. You know, we're not getting fair in anything that we're doing. And this is making the American people angry. And that's where I feel like President Trump is trying to bring fair back as best he can. But boy, he's sure having a lot of fights about it.
Well, you know, the thing that bothers me on many different levels is all this crap now that we've been hearing ad nauseum for the last year and a half about Russian collusion, and you telling me that of which they've got zero evidence is more important than the collusion and the fraud that goes on with 2.4 million people fraudulently voting in our elections. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That doesn't include all the dead people, right, that are on the voting rolls where the dead people happen to vote somehow.
Well,
come on,
this
is far worse than any aspect of Russian collusion.
And I wrote an article about that a while back, about the real collusion is happening in our own country, and it's between the people that are trying to really cheat the system in one way or another. And it wasn't President Trump that was doing that. It really was the other side that did all the things to cheat. The dossier and the bad people that were in the FBI. Everybody was trying to do something to somebody else rather than let the American people choose. That is how America was formed. That's what it's supposed to be. We are the ones, we the people, right? We choose. And they're not letting us choose. That what they're saying to us, Ron, is that we're all too stupid to choose, and that they know better than us. So they're going to just fix it all for us, and they're going to make it the way that they want it. And I have so much resentment to that. Let us all have our say and let the chips fall where they may at that point.
Well, there has to be identification, okay? There has to be some way to vet and verify who is present and who is voting and how many times are they voting. You know, the ironic thing about this, sweetheart, is if they don't watch out, they're going to get a government like Russia, and they're going to have elections like the Russians have, where they keep voting the same guy in time and time again, no matter what the people have to say. You're going to have a Venezuela. You're going to have a third world country because they are skirting the controls for federal and state voting.
And when you say that the people are discriminated against because of having to have ID, that is just so wrong. Because they're not discriminated against about driving. They're not discriminated against about buying a bottle of liquor. They're not discriminated against about all the things that you need an ID for, but they are in voting. That just makes no sense. This is not something that discriminates against poor people, against black people, against any people. It is just the fair way to do things. And really, Ron, how many people do you know or know of in this country that have no ID whatsoever, just absolutely no ID, and are those people running out to the voting booth to vote? This is a stupid argument, and it's a fallacy.
Well, you know, when we lived in California, you know, most of the time, because we travel so much, we would do absentee ballots. But you remember, we used to, you know, drive a couple of blocks from where our ranch was, and there, remember that lady that was the mm-hmm. real estate lady, and
sure.
she had a voting,
Kaylee.
And she had a a voting booth system in her garage, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
With the voting people, you know, the county voting people were there, and you'd go in there, and they wouldn't check your ID. And I asked the lady, I said, "How come you're not checking ID? Aren't you interested in who I am?" Oh, she goes, "Well, just sign right there and put your address there." I go, "That doesn't mean anything. How do you know who I am? I can put anybody's name and address down."
Well, especially
and she goes,
when
well,
you're...
"We don't do that." We don't do what? Well, we don't look at, we're not allowed to look at your driver's licenses. I'll tell you what, I was so disgusted.
Well, and especially when they're showing you the sheet with your name on it, with your address on it, all you need to do is copy that down if you didn't know what, you know, what the person's address was. So I do know of a person in my life that voted illegally under somebody else's name, and they were prosecuted for it.
Oh, good.
So... Yeah, but that was somebody who had an ID and who had no excuse to do it. So I just think that everybody should absolutely have to have an ID. And these judges that are preventing it are, it's just partisanship.
Well, it is. And that's the whole legislation from the bench thing that just drives me bonkers, you know, and like we say, it frosts my socks. Hey, sweetheart, you know, speaking of judges that legislate from the bench, how about this federal district court judge, John Bates, that recently ruled that President Trump would have to maintain DACA? Can you believe that?
Not just maintain it, but reinstate it for new people, which is, that is legislating from the bench.
You know, how the heck does he put this together? President Obama... created that DACA program by executive ruling, executive fiat, and it wasn't constitutional when he did it. And now we're trying to change this thing because what? We have about 60,000 DACA recipients right now?
No, that were 60,000 that have been arrested.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the DACA situation is one that... President Trump wanted to stop, and the problem, Ron, is really it's Congress, because Congress needed to step in and make the laws that needed to be made, and Congress has done nothing. So it's put everybody in this huge kind of waiting time and a bind, and this is what you get. You get a judge making a stupid decision like this.
And you know the thing that really bothers me, well, one of several things with regards to DACA, is these people have been in this country for a number of years, these kids. The parents brought them over. And so, you know, the parents never made the proper and ethical decision to leave the country. I mean, with kids that they could have left with relatives and made application to come into this country legally, and they didn't do that. And now these kids are in a bind, and like you said, 60,000 of them have been arrested for various crimes. And I'm looking at this whole system of DACA was unconstitutional. Nobody voted on it. And Congress just sat on their hands and continue to sit on their hands during this whole thing. And I just think it's so unfair to other Americans, including American students.
Well, it's absolutely unfair. And Jeff Sessions, he has not yet said that he's going to appeal it. He has intimated that he'll appeal it. He has complained about it and said that it's not a good ruling. But what I want to hear is a forceful, we are going to appeal this immediately before this goes into effect.
And it needs to be expedited, tracked all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
Because if Congress is going to sit on their hands and not do something about this, then I think that's when the United States Supreme Court needs to step in and make a firm decision for once and for all.
Well, shame on all of Congress, both Democrat and Republican, for not taking care of this entire immigration issue and just letting political partisanship get in the way of doing the people's business and taking care of this once and for all.
And you know, we do nobody any favors. We do the illegal aliens no favors. We do American citizens no favors. We do taxpayers no favors. The whole system is screwed up with this, you know, partisanship between Republicans and Democrats. You know me, I call them the Republicrats. We do not move anything or anyone forward.
Well, and I'll make a prediction. I predict that this will get to the Supreme Court and that President Trump will prevail. but we've got to have somebody make that decision and file that appeal right away.
And I absolutely agree with you. Well, sweetheart, you remember this weekend when we flew out of California and we got up to about 30,000 feet and we looked down over the valley, and that was in SoCal, and we saw all that smoke and haze from Northern California?
Well, and not only in SoCal, but all the way to our first flight stopped in Las Vegas, and all the way to Las Vegas, the sky was absolutely as gray as could be. I've never seen it like that.
You know, I was talking with one of our experts, Bob Priva, that lives up in Paradise, and that's, you know, Paradise is about 100 miles from Redding. And he said, man, I can't even breathe. We can't even go outside with our kids because the smoke is so bad. He said all the ash, he came out, took a look at his truck the other day, and it was all covered with ash. Now the Mendocino fire they were talking about today is the largest wildfire in the history of the state of California. And just tens of thousands of people between Redding and Mendocino being displaced, 17 active fires going on. And who do I see today giving a press conference and bagging that this is all caused by climate change?
Gotta be Moonbeam.
Gotta be Governor Moonbeam Brown. That idiot. This has nothing to do with climate change whatsoever. This has to do with the inability because of the state regulations to deforest certain areas so that those trees have room to breathe and we don't get these giant wildfires with all this pent-up brush and everything and debris that we've been getting.
Well, absolutely.
With no water.
And they need to be taking out, you know, a lot of the trees have that tree disease and they completely die. And sure. They are just absolutely ripe to go up like a matchstick.
Well, you remember when we were up in Lake Arrowhead with our house up there, and we had that bark beetle infestation, which killed all of our beautiful ponderosa pines. Mm-hmm. And we got a fire through there because the Sierra Club had done all these injunctions against, you know, removing dead brush, dead trees and things like that. And it just whipped through that community. And that one year we lost 1,400 houses and businesses.
You know, this goes back to there's always somebody to blame or something to blame for everything. And sometimes, of course, some of these were human caused or either on purpose or accidentally, but
right.
Human caused. But just nature has a way with lightning of creating fires when things are dry. And that's happened throughout history. So fires are certainly nothing new. But there doesn't always have to be somebody to blame for everything. There are definitely ways to mitigate fires and to help with them if they happen. And those things he should be doing as governor. And he has mismanaged the water in California so terribly
sure.
In both of his administrations that's a big problem.
Well, you know what? Speaking of water, I'm going to switch over from coffee to ice water because it's still kind of warm out here.
Okay.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, I have another survey for you, Ron.
I dig the surveys, Linda.
Good. Well, I hope you'll participate with me.
Of course. Is it going to be a test?
It could be a test.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, well, that's a really good question. So we'll start with a test question. What we're going to talk about is the top 10 retailers in the country that are voted as the worst retailers to do business with. The retailers that people like to do business with the least.
Okay, now wait a minute. You got to help me for a second. define a retailer? Is it like a store rather than a service?
It's somebody, a retailer would be somebody that sells you a product or service that you need.
Okay. Verizon.
And ding, 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 Verizon is on the list. So we'll get to Verizon.
Okay.
Because that would have been my
Can
my
I give
pick
you another
as,
one?
Yeah.
Can I give you another
give
one?
Give me another
because
one.
Because I left Verizon, okay? And I went to Sprint, okay? Guess who my next pick is? Sprint.
Okay. Okay.
They're all bad.
Let's see if
They're
you're
They're all
right.
bad. Some, it's just who's the worst bad and the least bad, but they're all bad.
Okay. Well, number 10 on the list of least liked retailers by people is a store called Dollar Tree.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. It okay. says that they're poorly organized, dirty stores. They don't pay their employees too well.
It always reminds me, and I, by the way, I've been in there before. You get a little deal every once in a while. But it always looked to me like a thrift store, right? And I absolutely agree with the disorganization and the stores being dirty inside.
Yep. Well, number 9 on the list, you were right, is Verizon.
Oh, they need to be right at the top
well,
of the list.
I don't disagree with you. We have had so many run-ins with Verizon. I mean, hours and hours and hours on the phone waiting for them, being transferred around, not getting anything done, not keeping their promises. Absolutely the most frustrating customer service.
Well, I want to add something to that because maybe, you know, some of our friends don't even know, but they have, okay, the copper people and the fiber optic people, right? Copper being the older people, right? The older type of transmission lines, fiber optic, Fios being the new. Well, I'm sure that people don't even know that the copper people don't even talk to the fiber optic people and they don't talk to each other by telephone.
No.
They email everybody and they outsource everything. You're not even talking to people in the United States. Indonesia, some third world country, and they have no concept of the United States and how we do our telephone calls or how we do our business services. Do you remember we used to have everything on Verizon and now we have nothing on Verizon?
Well, we had to have everything on Verizon at where we lived in California because it was a remote area and that's all that we could get and we couldn't get Fios or anything. But also, to your point, the internet side of Verizon does not speak to the cell phone side,
Correct.
Does not speak to the
Correct.
House phone
they're
side.
They're all compartmentalized.
So they're all compartmentalized and nobody can talk to each other directly. It all has to be through like instant messaging.
And you know what, since we're on this phone service thing, which is a big frost my socks for me, if they would just spend a quarter of the money that they spend on commercials to buy their products, if they took that money and used it to fix their systems and their infrastructure so we wouldn't have drop calls and wouldn't have such a lousy service, they would do much better in the end.
Absolutely. They just because of evidence of this is that their service levels, which were voted really bad, they have lost their profits fell last year by 24%. That's a lot of money.
And you know what? And they deserve it, okay? Because look at us. We left them. And I don't regret it for one second.
Nope, and I'm not going back. Number 8 on the list of worst retailers is another dollar store called Dollar General. They have similar, right? Everything's a dollar pretty much, but they've had a lot of lawsuits regarding their own branding of oils and things that you buy in the auto section, but in the very small print, it will say something like, use this only for cars before 1988 or after 1988 or
Oops.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and people are not seeing those little warnings on there.
And they're screwing
and they're,
up their cars.
Yeah, they're buying the wrong thing. So that got some bad ratings. Number 7 I'm really surprised about is Walmart.
Oh, I like Walmart. And we've got one here in town.
I like Walmart too. And it's kind of the store that people love to hate. They blame Walmart. You know, so many people would have these protests against having Walmart come in their town. And really, I mean, Walmart has done a really good job. And that's the truth. It's a well-run company. They actually are the only company that's in competition with Amazon at this point. So, you know, they've done a good job, but people love to hate them for some reason.
Well, you know, I've actually seen Walmart get better over the years, and I really don't have any complaints about the Walmart that we have here in town. But you do get the Walmart shoppers that are kind of weird, and I know there's a few websites with weird Walmart shoppers on it. But I've got no complaints about Walmart, and I'll tell you what, they've got cheap gas, and I like that too. I am always filling up at Walmart or HEB.
I had a lady in line in front of me the other night with a parrot on her shoulder.
I remember that.
And bird mess all down her shirt, and she treated that parrot like her child. It was very interesting.
And that's a Walmart shopper.
That's a Walmart shopper. But I do like Walmart. Number six on the list, another phone company, AT&T.
Oh, yeah. No, they're really bad. Yeah, like I said, the phone companies are absolutely the worst. I heard so many bad stories about AT&T that when we were looking at leaving Verizon, I briefly gave AT&T a look, and that was it. That's all I gave them.
Well, and they have now bought DirecTV, and it's a bit harder to get things done at DirecTV because I always thought DirecTV had great service, and now I think it is lacking.
And I think we've been with DirecTV for about 15 years, and the only other competition that we have where we live would be Dish. And I don't know. So far, I'm not interested. I'm still hopeful for DirecTV, but if they keep, you know, the bad service, we're going to move
well,
on.
Well, I'll say this. Their service guys are the best.
Their service guys are the best.
It's the back office with the billing and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Number five on the list, Burger King.
So, I don't do Burger King very much.
Burger King. And Burger King is said to have the worst menus and things that people are not so much interested in eating. There's nothing like wow about going to Burger King. And I guess that's why people are voting them down. Number four on the list is actually somebody that I really like is JCPenney's.
I like JCPenney's too. I think you get decent clothes there for a reasonable price.
A very reasonable price.
And I think the products that we get at JCPenney's, when we shop there, I'm a big Men's Warehouse kind of guy, but every once in a while, if I need a pair of slacks or a dress shirt on the fly, I'm going to Penney's, and I've got no complaints about them at all.
You know what they have there that I love? I don't mind anything that they have there. I like the store, actually. But when it's the season for boots,
yes.
Okay, ladies' boots.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, they've got a great selection at really good prices. Number three on the list is Chipotle.
Well, I don't do Chipotle, so I don't know too much about them. I've had a couple of meals there. We don't have one in the near area here, so I'm not getting my Mexican food there.
Well, I actually like their food. It's kind of like healthy Mexican food, but they had the foodborne illness that happened to them a couple of years ago,
and that
has really stuck to them like glue, and that's been a problem for them.
I remember
but
that.
I do like their food, but I will say that I have a hesitation about going there because of the foodborne illness. So, you know, that apparently resonated with people. Number two on the list is your favorite, Sprint.
Well, we've already talked about them. Let's move on.
I like Sprint. I have had Sprint for as long as Sprint has been in business.
Okay, well, you sucked me back in because I had a bad experience when my phone broke this past month, and I had to go through all sorts of rigmarole to get a new phone, and it didn't exactly sync like my last phone did. And by the way, I got the same Samsung Galaxy phone. But I'll tell you what, Linda, maybe this is a whole different, you know, conversation, but are phone prices crazy or
what? Oh my
gosh.
Yeah, just crazy. And you know what? Here's what I think. It's not that they really, really, really cost more to make. It's that we are all now hooked on phones. So we are an audience that is not going to do without our phones, and they know it, and they're going to get every dime out of
us. Well, you know what? Let me tell you a little story. I don't know if I told you the whole story about when I got my phone. First of all, I know you have an iPhone and the kids have iPhones. You know, I've got the Android. And so I seriously considered switching over to the iPhone, but I didn't want to spend $800 to $1,000 for a stupid phone. I mean, I'm a pretty good businessman, but I'm sorry, I am not spending that kind of money on a phone. So anyway, I asked about, okay, let's get the upgrade, because I was due for an upgrade on my Galaxy Note 7 or whatever it is. And it was, the guy said, like $800. And I said, you've got to be out of your mind, $800. And I said, I'm not going in that direction. What do you got around $300 that will give me the same stuff that I have on my phone now? And I thought he was going to tell me to leave. And he goes, well, you know what? I've got a phone that's better than the one you have right now for $280.
See?
I said, wrap it up. And you know what? I saved like, within 10 seconds, I had saved $600.
They want to sell you the highest price thing. I was just going to get you a jitterbug.
I know. And you know what? With the low tech that I am, probably the jitterbug is probably the phone I should have.
Well, the number one story, a store,
okay,
that people love to hate is Sears.
No.
Yeah. Sears was just the kind of the rock solid store when we were growing up. When you got something at Sears, you knew it was going to last and nobody likes it anymore.
And you know, and historically, out of all those companies that you just mentioned, Sears, which is used to be Sears Roebuck when I was a kid, is by far the oldest company on your list. I'm sorry to see Sears up there in the number one position. I disagree with that.
Yeah, they've closed 180 stores last year, which is not a lot for how many stores they have.
I think the internet, I think Amazon, I think a lot of the, and then competitor stores, I think that's what's killing Sears.
Well, and you know, they have a CEO, and I don't know his name, but nobody likes him, and he apparently really rubs people the wrong way, and it's just not setting well. So let's talk about the good stores.
Yeah, let's do that. We'd bang on the bad ones.
Okay, and you know, some of these we're going to have to try because we haven't. So, the most loved retailers in the country.
Okay.
Number 10, L.L. Bean.
Oh, I bought a shirt from L.L. Bean, but I've only used the catalog, the internet catalog. I haven't gone to a real store.
No, I don't know. Are there real stores?
I don't know. Yeah, I think there's real stores.
Okay, most people buy L.L. Bean on the internet, and the reason that they love them is because they're very, very high-quality clothes that
Absolutely.
Kind of last you forever.
I've had one, a winter shirt, flannel, I think, for about 10 years now.
Yeah, so that's a good thing, instead of wearing your clothes that fall apart. Number 9 is Nike, and I've been to the Nike corporate offices. It's an amazing campus. I mean, campus is even the wrong word. It's huge, and the way that they treat their employees, the quality controls they have, the design that they have is absolutely amazing.
You know, when you went to their campus, was it Oregon or Washington?
It was either Portland or Seattle.
There you go.
Because I went to both at the same time.
Because you are who you are, Linda, okay, in the business. You came back with some apparel, and you remember the lightweight rain jackets and the self-breaking jackets and the shirts and stuff? I love every bit of that.
Well, I sell the Nike brand in my business, and it's extremely popular, and I never, ever have a problem with it.
Yeah, I agree.
So people love that Nike brand.
I'm with you.
Number 8, I don't know this company. It's called Aldi, A-L-D-I. It's a grocery type store.
They just opened one in Temecula. Don't you remember? It was right across the street from Vaughn's.
Okay.
Remember?
Well,
a brand new store on Rancho, California.
They say that they have great foods and great prices, and that they treat their employees really, really well, and they have happy employees. And, you know, this goes to my customer service thing, where you have happy employees, you have great customer service, people will come back. You don't have to have the best product, although that helps, but when you have great employees and great service, people will come back.
Agreed.
Number 7, another clothing store, Patagonia. Another one with very good quality clothing. And they're a very socially responsible company, so they're very eco-friendly. They actually got on President Trump big time when he did some of his changes in the environmental rules and so forth. But Patagonia is just really well known for their quality and their social responsibility. Another grocery store, which is interesting, is Publix. Are you familiar?
Oh, I've seen it, yeah. I've seen it. I've never been in one, but I've seen one. I've driven past one or two.
Well, people love their Publix stores, and again, they have great prices on their groceries and great selection, great produce, and people really like them. Number five, you know really well.
H-E-B.
H-E-B.
Okay, now that, I could talk about H-E-B all night, but we don't have time, right? But I'll tell you what, I love the diversity in that store. It is absolutely the best grocery store that I've ever been to. And as you know, honey, it's far more than a grocery store. You know, sometimes we just kind of walk around. They have a big, huge wine selection in there. The meat, poultry, fish is always really good. They got a great deli section. And the thing that I kind of like is outdoor. They have an outdoor plants, you know, section and all sorts of stuff. That's kind of cool.
Well, they have just about everything. And the thing that I like about H-E-B, because that's our store in Texas,
right,
is it's fun to shop there, actually, because you can just get everything that you need. And they have fresh things. So you can get fresh crab legs and you can get fresh sushi. And they're making it right there on the spot. So there's a huge variety of things that you can get there. And I just enjoy that experience in going to H-E-B. Yeah.
I love them I know you hate this, but I love them during crawdad season.
Oh, yeah, no. Number four is Walt Disney.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Sorry.
Well, you know, you have to think about how many people love the whole Disney brand, from the movies to the Magic Kingdoms to everything that they do, and all the happy stuffed animals and all of the, you know, it's a happy place. It's a great place for kids.
You know, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a marvelous job. I think my only disagreement is they're just over-commercialized, and I find them to be very, very expensive. And it's just so hard for a family of four, you know, to go to Disneyland. You're talking, you know, a couple of grand for like a weekend to do a Disney experience. And I just don't think that your average American family can afford that without sacrificing for months in advance.
Well, number three, I'm really, really happy to see on this list.
What do you got?
Chick-fil-A.
I've eaten there just once. And,
really?
And I liked it just once.
Oh,
but
it's
people
very good.
Swear by it.
Yeah, I really enjoy them. You know,
it's a good Christian company.
It's a good Christian company. They're not open on Sundays, but despite that, and despite that they are smaller, they have one of the best reputations in the fast food industry. And they are at the point, Ron, that they are threatening to overtake McDonald's.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Speaking of another Christian company that has a great employee model, and I don't know if it's on your list because you're hiding it from me, but how about In-N-Out Burgers? Is In-N-Out Burgers on there?
Nope.
Well, you know what? It should be, and I'll bet you by next year it'll be on that list. I love In-N-Out Burgers.
Maybe it's number 11. The next one, number two on the list, is another grocery-type chain called Wegmans. And it's located in New York. There's only 92 stores, and they're all in the East. But their customers love them so much that it brought them all the way up to number two on this national list, which is fascinating because they say that they have great employees, great customer service, and great prices. So, Wegmans.
Okay.
Never heard of them. And number one on the list?
I don't know. Which one?
Amazon.
Oh, my gosh.
The most loved retailer in the country.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're doing, I'm a premier member, right?
Right.
And you are, too, differently. And I'll tell you what. They are absolutely Johnny on the spot within a day. Sometimes, I don't know how they do this, same-day service sometimes. It's crazy. But they do a wonderful job. And so far, everything that we bought from them has been good.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, I have a lot of good news stories, and I'm going to save them so that we can get some sleep tonight, and we'll talk about them tomorrow.
That sounds great. I love you, and the dog's conked out, so we'll wake her up and go to bed.
Okay.